Rupper, I want to start with the New Jersey Devils, who come to town with a record of 7-3 against the Oilers, 7-3. How good are the Devils? Are they legit, or is it too early to say?
I think it may be a little too early to say. Listen, I think that right now we're talking that 10-game range for teams. I'm not going to throw the towel in on some really good teams that are struggling right now, and I'm not willing to crown non-playoff teams last year to be in legitimate right now. So it's still a little bit of time, but they're doing a lot of things really well. They're coming in their own. They're a supremely skilled group. They're winning games. They're exciting to watch. They're a fun team to watch. I mean, that matchup against the Oilers, I mean, there's a lot. It's going to be a lot of talent on the ice and zipping the puck around. The one thing, though, that I'm still uncertain about with them is, can they win in December, in January? I mean, it's different winning right now in the regular season. It's going to get harder. Can they adjust? They're in a good spot. It's all positive. It's all building. It's all heading in the right direction for the Devils. I just don't know if I would consider them to be have fully arrived at this point. Let's put it that way.
Rupper, my concern for them, and I'd love to hear what you think, their size, their overall size, are they too small, or is that something that should have been said in 2010?
No, I fully agree that that the size or their lack thereof will serve them well for parts of this regular season. And eventually, at some point, like, that's a roster, I think, again, we have to taper this a little bit, what the expectations are. It's like, if you're a Devils fan and you're waking up and you're seeing this team with the third best record in the NHL, you might be like, playoffs, here we come, and we're going to put a run together. Sure, that stuff can happen, but I don't think this roster can have success in the playoffs right now. That doesn't mean they're not going to change things. It's not going to mean they're not going to add size and different elements. But to your point, like, I think that that's part of the reason why this team, you know, that Jesper Bratt, who has been on fire this year, was he got 10-game point streak to start the season, the contract issues with him, I think there's some hesitation there. And I think this guy's he's already on a start for having a bang-out year this year. I'm not sure they're going to be able to pay him, because with that team's build that they have, Can you really clog up that much more money that Jesper Bratt's going to garner to another undersized player? I mean, Jack Hughes is fantastic. Nico Ischier is very good on both sides of the puck. Jesper Bratt's been fantastic. They're little. And I don't know how that stacks up come playoff time. So I agree with you 100%. Right now it's good, and they got some building blocks in place, but this is still a work in progress in New Jersey, and they're going to have to get bigger before they want to make some noise in the playoffs.
Mike Rob joins us at Sports Leader TSN 1260. Mike, the Edmonton Oilers are 7-3, equal to the Devils. McDavid's got 22 points. Drysdale's got 21. The crazy part is Drysdale, actually, his 21 points in 10 games isn't even the best start of his career. He had 23 in 10 games last year. McDavid tied his best 10-game start with 22 points, but he also has 11 goals. And, you know, like, the Oilers, like, on this five-game winning streak, those two have played, like, a total of 2 minutes together, 5-on-5. They're specifically on separate lines. And, like, how do you defend those two lines? Because Hyman's going, Nugent Hopkins, Kane's going, like, their top two lines right now, you could argue, the best top two lines in the NHL.
Oh, 100%. I know you guys are privy to this, and I saw it online last night. I saw the most dumb stat I've ever seen in my life. And my, like, Leon's numbers against Nashville, we seen a player dominate a team more? 9 games, 25 points. Did I see that right? 18 goals in those 9 games?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if we've seen someone in our modern game that has had numbers like that. Like, talking about, you know, he's not quite 10 games, but like that 10-game mark. Those two guys are humming along. This is man, this is a team that is absolutely loaded, and I love that you pointed that part out, because you're going to have a lot of people outside that are going to say, oh, well, you know, they play together. No, they don't. No, get over that. That time has passed. Like, on the power play, they'll get out there together. But what team doesn't put their best players all on the first unit?
Exactly.
So, you know, they've got something special going there. I think the best way to, I think the only way you can go about it is, yes, you're still going to watch tape. You're still going to go out with a game plan. You're going to try to slow them down. You're going to try to take the body when you can. But I think the biggest thing that teams can really control playing against Edmonton, make them beat us. Don't beat ourselves. Don't turn the puck over. Manage the game. Manage the puck. I mean, they're going to get enough looks as it is because of their talent and what they do. Don't give them any more. Don't give them any more free passes on the power play. I think that's your best effort. You know, don't fuel them to beating you even worse, right? If they're going to beat you, then they're going to have to make some spectacular plays, which they very well may do. But you can live and put your head down at night with that kind of outcome, as opposed to, hey, we gotta score with these big guys, and we're gonna open this game up, because if you do that, you got no chance.
Talking with Mike Rupp, NHL Network, a longtime NHLer, and generally all around a pretty nice guy. Rupper, Philadelphia Flyers, you know, it feels like they're missing a lot of guys, you know, and yet they're still winning. So, like, is this in your sustainable box, Rupper, or is this in your let's take a look here after Santa visits?
it's not sustainable, I don't think, long term. I mean, to be outchanced the way they are right now, Carter Hart's been awesome. One thing with I was working the game last night, and I was at MSG, and it's like, you know, I play for Torts, and they you collapse the house, so you bring guys in close to your net, like you defend from the inside, all those little buzzwords. I mean, he gets his teams playing that way, which is great. But you don't have the puck a lot, right? You defend. You're hard to play against. And that's what Philly's got to be, especially with all the talent they have out of the roster, and they're trying to figure out who to move forward with here. I'll tell you this much, though. That Ranger game last night, the way it was going against Philly, I was thinking, this is how Philly plays. They will not go away in a game. There once was a time last year, the year before, where the Flyers would just roll over. That's not them now. They're going to scrum after whistles. They're going to scratch, claw, and grab all game long. If it takes 60, if it takes 65, if it's shootout, they'll do whatever. And that's what they're going to do. And you've got to be patient playing against them. You've got to be patient. And the Rangers were. They had one moment in that game last night where Artemi Panarin took kind of a dumb penalty because I think he was getting frustrated because they were having chances, couldn't score. That's what they need. They need some assistance by you to beat you. And that's fine, because that's what they're working towards. They'll get to take care of the talent later on. That work ethic's there with them. And I'll be honest, backup goaltenders, second of back-to-back, playing, going against the Leafs tonight. This Leafs team, better not think they're going to chuck their sticks out there and get a win, because this Flyers team plays hard.
Yeah, well, they have no question to start the season under John Tortorella. The Boston Bruins just continue to roll and have looked very good. But the Washington Capitals, you know, they were an older team to start the season, and their injuries just keep mounting. Oshie, Brown. Are they going to be Vegas of last year, where injuries just derail their season?
Kind of looks like that, you know, especially with the way some of these other Eastern Conference teams have been performing. And again, you know, the Devils would be one to throw in there. We'll see how those teams are a little bit later on, the Buffalo Sabres, just some East teams that are playing maybe out of their boots a little bit. But if those teams are still playing well and continuing to play well, it's going to get harder for this Washington Capitals team with all those injuries. I think so. I think if there was a team that was the most vulnerable coming into this season – to come out of the playoffs, it was probably them, and each injury that goes by is making it that much harder. So they're being tested right now, and you're right. I mean, that Vegas team last season, they would have been a playoff team if they didn't deal with half the injuries they had. They were decimated. They're very important pieces, and kind of the same thing looks like it's happening here in Washington. So we'll see how they weather it. It's going to be some tough sledding there in the nation's capital.
Rupper, you look at some of the teams, and you know it's a little bit small for sample size, but the you know, power play, I think we know what it's all about. But the penalty kill, you know, when you have a group that's struggling, whether it's you know, the Oilers' penalty kill isn't great, or Seattle, or even, you know, even Vancouver, and your penalty kill is going wrong, what, you know, is it coaching? Is it players? What is it usually? Because it feels like it's really hard to turn that ship around.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's. you know how it is, Strutty. You got to be on the same page. And, you know, X's and O's can only do so much. I think a game plan is certainly important. But just to be able to read off each other, I always felt like whether it's PK or even 5-on-5, the more predictability that I can give my line mates, the better. And for whether those communications or those things happen on the bench or you're talking in between periods or just during the week in practice going over things, like there's got to be some staples. And I feel like when you get into a moment where things are going bad, listen, there's nobody on a PK anywhere in hockey that doesn't care. Because those are the guys that care the most. That's why they're on the penalty kill, right? That's why they're in that situation, because they'll sacrifice, they'll do whatever it takes. But sometimes that big heart and that it can get you in trouble because you try to do too much. So you got to kind of be on the same page and work together and sometimes just be a little more simplistic and not try to make the big crazy defensive play or change a shift, change the game on one shift. So I think that that's the biggest thing. And that, you mentioned the Vancouver. I took a dive on Vancouver's PK, and it's like, it's not a lack of effort. It's just not smart work. Like, they're running around a little too much. One guy's stretching out too much, opening up seams, and they just don't seem to be on the same page. So it's just kind of getting together, talking those things through. And I want to be as predictable as I can for my line mate, because I want him to be the same for me, so I can read off of him. And usually if you're not doing that, you're going to struggle.
At what point do you think the struggles of Toronto would lead to any sort of significant change? And should it be a player change, a management change, or a coach change?
I'll tell you this. I this is not an indictment on Sheldon Keefe. I think Sheldon Keefe, I played against Kiefer in the OHL. He's a hell of a player. Everything I've heard in all accounts, he's a very bright mind of the game. I just think that, I don't know, since he's come in there, this was a franchise that had a coach that was considered and dubbed as old school, hard, maybe crossed the line, wasn't fair at times. They wanted somebody to be kind of new age. That's what this organization was about. That's what the philosophies that they had. So they got their guy. They got this new age thinking guy in there. The problem is I'm not sure that when that coach came in and Sheldon Keefe, if he had the cachet to squeeze this group from day one. And we've seen him try to maybe do that, and then he's kind of backed off it, and it's kind of this no man's land right now where I think this organization needs to make a decision. Either we are running this back like we said we were, and this is it no matter what, so win, lose, or draw, inside that room, we're figuring this thing out, or it's probably time to make a change. And I'll tell you what, if they lose this game tonight to Philly, I think it's now. I think it's now. And I know that Barry Trotz's name conveniently has been thrown out there in the last week or so. There's other guys out there. This group has to get squeezed. You know, I did another breakdown of some of their game mismanagement, and it's the top-end guys. And if you can't keep the top-end guys accountable, good luck keeping the rest of the team accountable. And that's what's going on with the Leafs. I think that, to me, is more important than them not scoring goals, not scoring 5-on-5 goals. They will score goals eventually. They're good. They've got talent. But, you know, this is – if they – say they go out tonight and they shell this Flyers team, which could certainly happen, and then they start putting together two or three games. Have you solved anything? I think their skill has masked things that they have, and they have issues. And I don't know if this group can get squeezed and get everything you can out of them. It's probably time for a change, and I don't blame Sheldon Keefe. I blame the probably the hire in the first place and the fact that this organization has kind of let this happen for too long.
Rupper, great stuff as always, man. I appreciate it. At Shea Rupp, what is your Halloween candy that you give out?
Oh, Halloween candy. I Reese's peanut butter cups. I mean, I buy just pretty much that because you never know. It's unpredictable how many trick-or-treaters you're going to get. So whatever's left over, I want it to be something I want to eat, right? I'm not going to buy – if I buy crap – to give out and try to save some money on the front end, and no one comes, now I got this crap to eat. So I'm like, all right, I'll go the extra mile, buy the good stuff. I got any left, I'm a happy camper.
Oh, okay. I like it. Smart. Smart.
That's that. Hey, always, you know, I'm always thinking, Greg.
You're always thinking, right? Yeah, step ahead, Rupper. That's why we have you on. We appreciate it. Thanks for your time, as always, buddy. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Have a good one, guys.